This sermon was preached by Pastor Naftali Ugalo at Grace Baptist Church, Eldoret, Kenya, on the Lord's Day, 29th November 2020, during the COVID-19 pandemic restrictions. Now we welcome you to join with us for worship at Grace Baptist Church, Eldoret. We are located within West Indies Estate on Cargo Street behind Cogo Flats, Eldoret Town. Opportunity to bring God's Word this morning. And by way of introduction, I say this. There is a false gospel that says, give all your savings, or a lot of money, but give your savings to the man of God, and God will bless you 100% within whether a day or a week or whatever length of time. They call this sowing the seed. Now, this is pure deception. But I want to teach about sowing the seed this morning. So I urge you to be alert and weigh everything I say with the Word of God. Please turn with me to Matthew chapter 13, the Gospel of Matthew chapter 13, and I want to read in your hearing verses 1 to 9, and then we move to verses 18 to 23, Matthew chapter 13. I am calling today's sermon the parable of the sower. The parable of the sower. And I read, that same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat beside the sea, and great crowds gathered about him, so that he got into a boat and sat down. And the whole crowd stood on the beach. And he told them many things in parables, saying, a sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seed fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured them. Other seeds fell on rocky ground, where they did not have much soil, and immediately they sprang up, since they had no depth of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched. And since they did not have root, they withered away. Other seeds fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Now other seeds fell on good soil and produced grain, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. He who has ears, let him hear. Then we go to verse 18. Hear then the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in his heart. This is what was sown along the path. As for that was sown on rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures for a while, and when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately he falls away. As for what was sown among thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. As for what was sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it. He indeed bears fruit and yields, in one case, 100-fold, in another, 60, and in another, 30. Let us pray. Dear Lord, our Father, thank you for your word, which we have read. We want to seek to understand these truths for our undying souls. Oh God, we pray that therefore you be our inner teacher by the power of the Holy Spirit. Be with me as I seek to explain these truths and to apply them in different areas of our lives. Lord, help me. Help me, I pray. And help my hearers that they too will pay every attention, Lord, to this word, which is able to save their souls. Bless us. In Jesus' name, amen. Friends, this chapter 13 of Matthew presents a number of parables. Last time, I gave a simple definition of what a parable is, and I said it is an earthly teaching or earthly story, but with heavenly meaning. Now, that's a very simple way to remember a parable. Of course, there are better ways of defining it, but that will be a simple one to remember, an earthly teaching or earthly story with heavenly meaning. Now, this first parable is called the parable of the sower. Now, this parable is said to be the key to understanding the rest of the parables. And I say that because in the book of Mark, a parallel passage in Mark chapter 4, verse 13, we read, "And he said to them, do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all the parables?" So you see, this is the key. If you understand this, then you will be able to understand the other parables. My friend, how you hear is between life and death. Yes, you look at verse 11, Matthew 13, 11, and you see this is a serious business. You see, our Lord wants us to learn the difference, or the different ways, actually, in which hearers respond to the gospel, the different ways that hearers respond to the gospel, that is the message of the kingdom. Now, there are a few things that we need to bear in mind. We read them there, and we need to just define or understand what they mean. There is the sower. And I say that Jesus Christ is the great sower of the seed of the kingdom. Excuse me. He went everywhere preaching and teaching. He sown disciples, and all who will be called to preach are also sowers. You see, they are also called God's fellow workers in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 9. So it's Jesus, his disciples, and all others who will be called to preach and teach God's word. They are the sowers. And then the seed. Now, this is the word of God. as we also read in Luke chapter 8, verse 11. The seed is the word of God, the message of the kingdom. Now, this seed is not narrowly referring to some evangelistic message delivered at some crusade or some rally somewhere. No, this is the whole counsel of God, all of Scripture. And definitely it has nothing to do with people's monies, people's properties, that some so-called man of God tells you to give, and the more you give, somehow the more you will reap. And that is, they're just reaping, they're conning people. The seed here is the word of God. And then the soils. Now, generally, the soil is referring to the human heart. And particularly, it represents different states of human heart. But even more specifically, and in reference to our passage, it refers to the hearers of the gospel. The hearers of the gospel. This morning, everyone hearing, listening to my preaching, you represent actually one kind of soil or another. So in other words, the seed of the word must be scattered, must be spread, must be sowed, so that all should hear the gospel to the intent or to the purpose that you may believe. But you know, there is a problem. There is a problem. And the problem is this. The soil is not uniform. The soil is not uniform. There is the good soil. There is also the bad soil. In fact, there are three types of bad soil in this passage. And there is one good soil. Now, I don't know the state of your heart this morning, no. But I have a mandate. I am one who sows the seed of the word of God. And I do want to make sure that I am faithful to that. Therefore, let me warn, as I preach this morning, let me send out a warning. A plea. I'm pleading with you, but really I'm calling it a warning. A warning to those who are professing to be believers. Professing to be Christians. And you're listening to me. Let me put it this way. Don't say that this passage does not apply to me. Because after all, I am already claiming to be saved. Listen, please. There is still remaining sin in every true believer. And as such, even the saved people can sometimes be a bad soil hearer. Yes. And so I ask, are you what you claim to be? Is there fruit in your life? You see, I want us to pursue this deeply. And we ask this question. Why do people respond to the word of God the way they do? Why do you respond to the word of God when you hear it the way you do? Now, I will not ask you to respond to me, but let us ask the Lord Jesus, as it were. In other words, let's listen to the Lord Jesus Christ explain to us. Why is there a difference in the way people respond to the word. And we will see in this passage the Lord Jesus explaining to us three different types of bad soil hearers. Three different types of bad soil, okay, as opposed to good soil. They are all hearers, but we are going to see then the bad soil hearers. And of course, we will look at verses 19 to 22. And so the first thing we see is what I would call, and someone has called it this way, but really it is from the passage, the path hearer. Jesus has in mind a sower who is not making holes on the ground and dropping seeds and covering those holes as we normally do in our own situations, in our context. No, the sower that Jesus has in mind and his readers understood is one who takes the seeds in his hand from his bag and then scatters it, throws it across in his field. Now, just think about that then. As he scatters his seed across his field, then in the process, some of the seeds fall on a hard beaten path, the path that people walk in between one farm and another, or one field and another. And so some would fall along the path, along the roadside, or on the path. Now, this is a picture given to us in verse 19. Look at verse 19. It reads, "When anyone hears the word of the kingdom," that's the gospel, "and does not understand it." So he hears when it is preached, he does not understand it. The evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in his heart. This is what was sown along the path. You see, from this illustration that Jesus gives, actually, there is no problem with the message that was preached or that was sown. No, there's no problem. Also, there is no problem with the messenger who scatters the seed. No, the problem is with the hearer. Even though he hears, he has no interest and also has no understanding. And you know, the passage tells us that then the devil comes and takes it away. In fact, the word used is the devil comes and snatches it. And the idea is there is no time to waste. The devil knows that it has landed in a person who has no interest, no understanding, then he snatches it. He takes it away quickly. It is to be feared. It is to be feared. But many unsaved people are just like that. Oh, yes. You see, however polite to the preacher they might be, but they have no interest in the gospel message, in the message of the kingdom. They have no interest. And they are oblivious to the devil's activity of snatching away the word which was preached to them. Very sad, and is to be feared. You who would call yourselves believers, I'm using the phrase professing Christian, are you in danger here? Are you in danger? You may have claimed to be a Christian for a long time, yes. Are you in danger? In other words, are you becoming sluggish towards God and His Word? Do you hold the view that you have arrived? You've been a Christian for long, so you say. Nothing new excites you any longer. Honestly, the question must be asked. Are you truly a Christian? Are you? And so, the first that we see is the path hearer. The path hearer. That hard beaten pathway where the seed falls and it has no use, or it is to no good to that person, and the devil just snatches it away. Now, secondly, the Lord Jesus explains to us the different people that how people respond to the word, and he says, or he talks of the rocky soil hearer, the rocky soil hearer. And that we see in, again, Matthew chapter 13, verses 5 and 6, and then also verses 20 and 21. Verses 5 and 6 read this way. Other seeds fell on rocky ground, where they did not have much soil, and immediately they sprang up, since they had no depth of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched, and since they had no root, they withered away. Now, this is a picture overfilled with shallow soil, but underneath is a whole wide layer of a rock. So it's a rocky area. Not just stones here and there, but it's a rocky area underneath. But on top, some bit of soil. It's therefore rather warm, you know, because of the heat. The hot sun beats on the soil, onto the rock, and it retains heat. So the soil is warm. So the seeds that fall on it get to germinate rather quickly, actually. But the roots don't go down at all, and so they wither and die. Now, Jesus explains to us there in verse 20 what's the meaning of that. So in verse 20 he says, as for what was sown on rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Think about that. This person really is so excited, receives the word, and by the way, when that happens to him, all people around him are also excited. See what the Lord has done. A soul has been saved. People rejoice everywhere. Because of the profession of faith of that person. But listen, soon the person begins to face opposition. And there is the opposition right at home, from the parents or from the children, from the spouse. Opposition at school, from colleagues, and from the professors, from the lecturers, and they mock the claim of salvation that one, or that profession that one claims. Opposition also at the workplace. The colleagues talk bad stuff and mock anything to do with Christian faith and salvation. And even from his other friends. And this person realizes that the cost of becoming a believer is just too much. So he lasts only for a short time. For a short time. He can't bear the cost. Look at verse 21. Verse 21 tells us, yet he has no root in himself, but endures for a while. And when tribulation or persecution arises, listen to this, arises on account of the word, immediately he falls away. You see, friends, he reveals that the root of the matter was never really in him or in her. The person has no real or deep conviction of sin. His so-called faith in Christ was only temporary, because the test in life has exposed them. The end result is that they fall away. And it must be said, there are many like that. Many like that. They hear the gospel. They appear to receive it with joy and so quickly. And it is very easy to count the numbers. To tell people, we were in such a crusade, we were in such a meeting, and I preached somewhere, and so many people came to the Lord. So many people came to the front, and I laid my hands on them or prayed for them. My friends, we need to be careful. The Lord Jesus is warning, there are rocky soil hearers. And it is their character that they will receive the word immediately with joy. Not half-heartedly, with joy. You see, the real test of whether someone is truly saved is when persecution comes. When trials comes. When persecution comes. When suffering comes. This must be emphasized. There are those who are telling you, come to the Lord and all your problems will be gone. Come to the Lord and life will be easy. No. And the Lord Jesus Christ is showing us here. You come to the Lord, you will be tested. You will face persecution. And if you stand to the end, you will be saved. Those who are false, however joyful they receive it, and quickly they receive it, if they cannot stand the test of time, then they are false. They are rocky soil hearers. And then in the third place, so let's remember that there are the hard path hearers, the rocky soil hearers, and now in the third place, the thorny soil hearers. The thorny soil hear us. We read that in verses 7, and also we find its explanation in verse 22. So verse 7 and verse 22. Now this is what we read in verse 7. Other seeds fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. You see, thorny weeds were already growing in that field. So, when the seeds fell among them, the seeds grew, yes, but were quickly choked by these thorny weeds. You see, this is the hearer who is preoccupied with the cares or worries of life which frustrate the word, and it does not last, but it gets choked. Literally, the word gets strangled. Let me give a simple illustration here. Those of you who watch TV, particularly the World Wrestling Championship, where often there are two opponents in the ring. At some stage, of course, there are different kinds of such wrestling, where two would begin, and when the one gets tired, then they would call their back on their opponent coming in, and they jump out. But anyway, think of two opponents in a ring, the podium there with the referee, and they wrestle each other. And then what happens? A time comes when one of the opponents hangs on the neck of the other onto the ground, and he squeezes the neck of his opponent on the ground for some long period of time. And his aim is to subdue his opponent. And then the referee, who runs around and looks around and monitors everything that is happening, a time would reach when the referee would go, this one opponent is onto the floor, his rival is hanging on his neck, his throat, and then the referee would go, just imagine, the referee goes nearer and holds the hand, tries to lift the hand, the arm of the one who is squeezed onto the ground, and to drop it to see whether that arm would still show some sign of strength. Now, if the man does not move, but his hand just drops, then the referee would know that that man has no more strength to continue fighting. And so the referee cancels or calls off the contest. And of course, then the other man is declared the winner. Now, the aim of this man hanging on the neck of the other is to squeeze, if you like, to squeeze life out of him. Now, that is the same thing with a thorny soil hearer. You see, what really is happening? Let's read verse 22. As for what was sown among thorns, this is the man who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, strangle the word. And in fact, Luke chapter 8 and Mark chapter 4, the parallel passages add the phrases pleasures of life or desires of other things coming in and choke the word or strangle the word. You see, these thorny weeds are there, as it were, to make sure that the word does not grow, does not take, make a strong impact, so that they grow upwards and reach the sunshine. No, their aim is to strangle, their aim is to choke life out of the word that was sown. Put it this way, these thorny weeds leave no room for Jesus and his word in the soul. They have no room. They leave no room. That is the aim of the thorny weeds. And what are those thorny weeds? They are the pleasures of life, the desires of other things, the deceitfulness of riches. They compete with the word that would have been in a person's soul. And you know, they bother us because these things crave and make demands on the flesh. And God's word says, I want to be there, I want to be the king. And these things say no. The sad results there in verse 22, near the end of verse 22, we are told, it proves unfruitful. It proves unfruitful. So the thorny soil here ultimately proves unfruitful. It may appear to begin well, but the soil has thorns and weeds of pleasures, and they hinder the word of God and Christ taking root. Now, let me apply this. Friends, I remember both my secondary school days, and you may remember also, during the secondary school days, but I also remember, because things never are different very much, even in my course of life, the course of my pastoral work, many people who appeared to take God's word in. They appeared to profess faith. They appeared to walk with the Lord for a while. The moment they walked to the front, the moment people came from the rally or from the crusade, or the weekend challenge, they appeared to walk with the Lord, yes. But then the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches, the pleasures of life, the desires of other things, choke the word. Do you know something of what I'm talking about? Do you know something? Do you know someone who has gone through that? Or who even right now is going through that? That for a while they showed signs of walking with the Lord. But then, the pursuit of riches. Riches which our passage says are deceitful. Pleasures of life. Desires of other things. You may remember people like that. Or could it be that something like this happened to you? Are you going through something like this in your life now? Once you appeared to be close to the Lord, to the things of the Lord and the people of the Lord, but you have found yourself, and you, yes, you may justify why you are pursuing these things. But the end result is, these things have choked or are choking the Word of God out of your life. I ask, is this your description this morning? Be honest. You know, many people today, right now, as I preach this sermon, are gripped. They're in clutches of the pleasures of life. These things cannot let them go. They're tied by these things. And it's not one, it's not a few, but many people. The Lord tells us that finally they wither away. They wither away. And that's my plea, with you. If this indeed is your admission, if you'd confess that, yes, Pastor, as you preach, I know, I am in the clutches of the cares of this world. Then be warned, because the Lord says, these things then will make the word wither away. There will be no fruitfulness. Well, we must go on now. The Lord Jesus has shown us three different kinds of soil, explaining different ways and reasons why people receive or how people receive his word. But he doesn't stop there, and we must quickly now move on to the good soil hearer. The good soil hearer or hearers in verses 8 and 9 and 23 explains. Verse 8 we read, other seeds fell on good soil and produced grain. Some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. Let us observe three things about this good soil. Three things that we read, we see about this good soil. One, we ask or we see how this soil becomes good. How does it become good? And listen, because this explanation is important. It did not become good by itself. No. You see, originally, this soil had every drawback, like the other soils. Just hard as a path, rocky and thorny. But, listen to this, the difference is that the Holy Spirit worked in this soil and prepared it ready for the seed of the word. The Holy Spirit made the difference. So that this person now has an ear to hear Verse 9 tells us that he who has ears to hear, let him hear. That is only possible when the Holy Spirit of God works. You see, this situation is brought about by God's sovereign work. That is how this soil became good. Number 2. Let us think of the response of this good soil. The response of the good soil, verses 9b, part B of it, where we read, this is the one who hears the word and understands it. He hears and understands it. You see, he accepts it from the heart, fully agreeing with the truths set forth. Truths to do with the holiness of God. Truths to do with the sinful nature of man. Man who therefore deserves condemnation. Truths about mercy that is set forth in Jesus Christ alone, and to be received by faith alone. And of course we can go on. But this person receives these truths, and he therefore trusts Jesus with all his heart, and he is saved. So, in the third place, we not only have seen how this soil became good, but the response of this soil, and then we now see the fruit of the soil. The fruit of the soil, verse 9 goes on to tell us, he indeed bears fruit. He indeed bears fruit. Now, the fruit here is the fruit of the Spirit, which will reveal that you are indeed a disciple of Jesus. Of course, we read in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. You can also read John chapter 15, verse 8. So these things, when they abound in a person, then they reveal that the person indeed is a disciple of Jesus. Then in the fourth place, we see a sure harvest. The sure harvest. You see, good soils vary in fruitfulness. Good soils vary in fruitfulness. We have read that there would be 100-folds and 60 and 30-folds. So what we learn? You see, from the moment of one's conversion, the moment when one became a believer, to the end of their life lived for Christ. Listen to this. No two believers are the same in terms of their experience, in terms of their activities. They're not the same, no. So, the purpose is not comparison here. No. But to underscore the point that regardless of varying believers' experiences, there will be fruit in every believer's life. There will be fruit. It is sure. Of different degrees, but there will be fruit. Now, every believer will and must have fruit. But please, I quicken now to mention this. Because it is possible to actually listen to what I've just said and said, oh, if that's the case, then yeah, I can sit back. I am a believer, and therefore my life will show some fruit. Friends, this is not automatic. It is not automatic. And I say this because I want to show you that this is no license to sit back. Instead, it is a call to examine yourself as to how you are treating the Word of God, the message of the Gospel. Now, how do you treat the Gospel now, before this life is over? You see, the good news is that only God changes the state of a bad soil into a good soil which receives and understands His Word. Only God can do it. But that's good news. It's not left unto us. It is God who brings that about. So you know, I have sowed the seed, and you have heard. But what kind of a hearer are you this morning? What kind of a soil are you? Are there marks of grace in you? Or will the day of judgment expose your emptiness, your fruitlessness? And so I urge you, hear, receive, and turn in repentance to God and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ today. Amen.